Turn to Acts chapter 26. I want to talk to you about crazy people today. I have a real simple question. What are you crazy about? What are you crazy about? Acts chapter 26. What do you think of when I say the word crazy? How does that affect you? I use the clinical crazy today with the psychiatrist jokes, but do you ever describe yourself as crazy? Is it ever okay to be a little crazy? Yeah, I think so. And by the way, who are you crazy about? I know my daughter-in-law's crazy. She's crazy about my son. She says so on Facebook all the time. They're crazy about each other. But there were actually some crazy people in the Bible. You might be surprised who you're going to find out at least was thought of as crazy. But in Acts chapter 26, I'm going to be reading from a New Life version. And the reason is because it uses the word crazy. So I'm going to read it from that version. Starting in verse 19, Paul's talking and he's in front of King Agrippa and another guy named Festus. He says, King Agrippa, I obeyed what I saw from heaven. First, I told what I saw to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem. I told it through all the country of Judea. I even preached to the people who are not Jews that they should be sorry for their sins and turn from them to God. I told them that they should do things to show that they are sorry for their sins. I didn't find this was an easy version to read, but I'm going to read this anyway. That is why the Jews took hold of me in the house of God and tried to kill me. God has helped me. To this day, I have told these things to the people who are well known and to people who are not known. I have told only what the early preachers and Moses said would happen. It was that Christ must suffer and be first to rise from the dead. He would give light to the Jews and to the other nations. As Paul was speaking for himself, Festus cried out in a loud voice, Paul, you're crazy. That's why I use this version. All your learning keeps you from thinking right. Paul said, Most respected Festus, I am not crazy. I am speaking the truth. The king knows all about this. I am free to speak to him in plain words. Nothing I have said is new to him. These things happened where everyone saw them. King Agrippa, do you believe the writings of the early preachers? I know that you believe them. Then Agrippa said to Paul, In this short time, you have almost proven to me that I should become a Christian. Paul said, My prayer to God is that you and all who hear me today would be a Christian as I am, only not have these chains. So here's Paul. He's in front of these leaders and he's in chains, but he's talking to them about Jesus. You know, think about it for a second. That is a little crazy. He talks to him about Jesus when he could be talking to him about his specific case. He could be complaining about his specific case. If you don't know, a bunch of people grabbed him, accused him of things that he didn't do. And then they tried to find false people to accuse him of more things that he didn't do. That never happens in our world today. But I digress. So all these people were accusing him of things that he didn't do, and he gets arrested, and then he ends up having to go all the way to Caesar to have the Supreme Court to have his case tried and heard from one section. He goes through the whole system, and these are a stop on the way. He could be defending himself, but this crazy man decides, I'm going to talk to these people about Jesus. Wasn't there something more important? Not to him. The most important thing that he could do was talk to people about Jesus. So I guess Paul was a little crazy. Paul wasn't the only crazy person. In John 10, verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I know my Father as my Father knows me. I give my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock with one shepherd. For this reason my Father loves me. It is because I give my life that I might take it back again. No one takes my life from me. I give it by myself. I have the right and the power to take it back again. My Father has given me this right and power. Because of what he said, the Jews did not agree in their thinking. Many of them said, he has a demon and is crazy. Who thought Jesus was crazy? Oddly enough, the people who should have thought the most of him, the people who were most familiar with what the scriptures had to say about a Messiah coming, the people who should have been most prepared to hear his message, they thought he was crazy. Wow. That's a little tough. The people who should think you're who you are and should embrace you the most sometimes think you're just off your rocker. But those weren't the only ones who thought Jesus was crazy. Mark 3, 20 and 21 says, when Jesus came into the house, many people gathered around him again. Jesus and his followers could not even eat. And when his family heard of it, they went to take him. They said, he must be crazy. All right, that's even worse, isn't it? Okay, I can understand some of them church people thinking you're crazy. But now we got your own family members going to come and get you. Haul you off someplace because you've lost your marbles. Have any of you ever had family members who thought you were a little nuts because of your faith? I hope so. I'm not sure my mom and dad haven't thought I was a little nuts sometimes because of my faith. When you quit a really good job and your wife's pregnant and you go into a full-time band to sing about Jesus, it's a little scary for mom and dad. I get that. They didn't come and get me, though. They didn't think I was crazy enough that I needed to be institutionalized. My wife probably thought that at the time, but she didn't say anything. Sometimes God asks us to do things that just seem like they're kind of crazy, doesn't he? He does. Yeah. So, if it's ever happened to you that people that you thought should embrace you, people that you thought loved you, people that you thought would understand you, didn't understand you, you're in good company. Because Paul and Jesus had the same problem as you. Now you feel better. Amen. Let's go home. No, I've got a little more to say. But think about it a second. So here's Paul's advice to us. This should be a little easier to read because it's not in an... It's more like I'm used to reading. It's in the New King James Version, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Who is wise? Who is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Let me just say something about that right there before I go on. The Jews, they want some kind of miraculous sign. And even when they got it, they didn't accept it. Jesus proved that. And the Greeks, they want to cram it into their head. It has to make sense. Think about that. How many times do we have to have it make sense? We want it to make sense, and it doesn't. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. In other words, they think you're crazy. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. Okay, I'm talking about your calling. Are you ready? Your calling. That not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty or not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which were mighty, and the base things of the world, the things that were despised, God has chosen these things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is, it, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Did you ever think that it might actually be part of your calling for people to look at you like you've got two heads sometimes? I think sometimes we're afraid that people might think we're a little crazy. Do you think Paul was worried about people thinking he was crazy? No. Because he was crazy enough to know that what he was saying was so crazy good that he didn't want anybody to miss it. See, we carry with us some crazy good stuff. We carry with us some crazy good news. We carry with us something that's worth being a little crazy about. Something worth going out on a limb a little bit for. I think that we're called to be just different. And a lot of people are going to think different's crazy. The world will not be able to understand the way we think, those who haven't been touched by the Spirit. It's just outside of their ability to grab hold of. So think with me. If no one ever thinks you're a little crazy, is it possible that you aren't thinking the way God thinks? I have had a lot of people over the years think I was crazy. It started out very young. When I got fired up for God at age 14 and got baptized in the Holy Spirit on my 14th birthday, I started telling all my friends about Jesus because I thought that was the plan. I didn't know I was just supposed to live a nice, quiet Christian life and let people do whatever. I thought I was supposed to tell everybody. I remember telling Tommy Cryle. I told Tommy a bunch of times and Tommy didn't really want to hear it anymore. So one day he got me in the dugout, put his hand on my throat. I could probably make it a little bit skinnier. I was pretty little. Put me up against the back of the dugout. Pulled his fist back like this. He says, if you tell me about Jesus one more time, I'm going to hit you in the face. And I looked at him and I said, but Tommy, I got to tell you about Jesus because he loves you. And he went, man, and just walked off. Crazy. Crazy. Maybe I'm wrong this morning. Maybe I'm just justifying how nuts I've been all these years. But I think you would have a lot more fun if you were just a little more crazy. And I'm talking about you on Facebook too. I'm talking about everybody who names the name of Christ. Because that's just crazy. It's crazy to think that some guy rose from the dead. That's a little crazy. It's crazy to think that he took on the sins of the whole world. That's crazy. Maybe we ought to get a little more used to being crazy. I don't think we always have to be weird, by the way. I don't think we always have to behave ourselves in weird ways. And sometimes we can take it just, we can push people. And I was right at the edge of that with Tommy. I was right on the edge of it, I admit. But if worldly people always think we make sense, then I wonder if we're actually thinking by the Spirit, because the Spirit doesn't make sense all the time. Any of you who have walked in Christ very long know that's true, don't you? God does things in ways that I did not expect, and it doesn't make sense, and then it turns out, it's crazy how good it turns out. Oh, did I say crazy again? It's crazy sometimes how God works things around, and they're not the way we thought we were. Or thought we thought they should be. So both Jesus and Paul and others that were naming the name of Christ had people look at them like they were crazy, or even tell them they were crazy. If you attempt to encourage someone in the spirit, sooner or later somebody's going to look at you like you're nuts. This I know also. In the month of September, I decided to be very intentional for at least 1 month. And I went out looking for people, tried to remind myself diligently every day to look for somebody who I could share the good news with, somebody that I could give a word of prophecy or share a testimony with, or just be nice to them. I shared a couple of the testimonies from that month with you. It was kind of fun looking around for people, asking God to target somebody. Give me somebody, Lord, to share something good with. Give me somebody to prophesy over. Give me somebody to encourage today. And every day when I remembered, he gave me people. And even sometimes when I didn't remember, I looked back on my day. And I wrote them all down for 30 days. I wrote them all down. The different people that I got to talk to, the different things that happened. I got to pray with people. I just kind of got a little nuts, and I would just like look at somebody and go, "Hi, is something I can pray for?" Okay, I really didn't do that. I usually just struck up a conversation. Like one lady, I think I told you this. I ran into a lady with a church t-shirt on from all the way down in Florida. I says, "Oh, you go to a church in Florida?" Yeah, up here visiting family, but we'll be heading back for Florida soon. Oh, cool. Sounds great. You know, I talked to her for a little bit about that. And I said, "Hey, is there anything I can pray for you for? I just feel like..." She goes, "Yeah." And we stopped right outside the bank and prayed. And when we got done, she goes, "I wish more people would do that." She didn't call me crazy. Nobody actually even called me crazy for the whole month. I did have a couple of instances where I think people were a little unnerved. Like the guy at Verizon, after he told me what was going on with my phone situation, then I just bluntly asked him. You know, there was a little rapport there. I felt like I could ask him, say, "Hey, by the way, before I leave, you know I'm a pastor," because we were talking, "is there anything I can pray for you for?" And he goes, "No, I'm good." And then he goes, "Well," and then he started telling me about a situation. And I said, "Can I pray with you right now?" And he said, "Yeah." And I just reached out my hand. He shook my hand and I started praying. I don't know if he knew that was what I was going to do or not. And then when I let go of him, he kind of looked at me like, "Oh, I don't know what to do with that." Probably thought I was a little crazy. So I've been working harder to ask God to show me people I can minister to. But I'm sure that once in a while, and it's happened with waitresses. Y'all know I'm real heavy on praying over or prophesying over waitresses. And it's really fun when, you know, you say something and their eyes get all full of tears, or they get a big smile on their face. "Thank you so much." Every once in a while, one looks at me like, "I don't know what to think of you, dude." But here's the good news. They want a tip. And I always make sure they get a good one, especially when I pray for them. And they never yell at you. So if you're afraid of someone thinking you're crazy and saying something mean to you, here's the secret. Waitresses. Awesome. I've wondered about some of the things I've said, by the way, sometimes too. I just go for it, and then you wonder, did it really resonate? Will it ever resonate? Did I miss it? It's okay. I'm a little crazy. But here's what I think. I think if you haven't had the fun of doing that, you're a little crazy for not trying. I think if you're sitting here looking at me right now thinking, "I don't believe in that," you're a little crazy. Because you're here for one reason, ladies and gentlemen, one reason. When you got saved, the best thing that could happen to some people, I've heard a preacher say years ago, the best thing that could happen to some people is if when they got saved, God took them right out of this earth. But God doesn't take you out, does he? He keeps you here. Why? He's crazy about you. And he's crazy about people that you come in contact with. God is crazy about us. And this crazy God wants us to do something crazy. He wants us to take a second now and then and stop and notice somebody. He wants us to let him highlight people to us that we can share the gospel with, the good news. Maybe we don't preach at them. In fact, probably not the best thing to do. But what you can do is you can share your testimony. You can share what God's done in your life. You can share how good God is to you. You can share how thankful you are that you live where you live and that God's blessed your life. You can share those kind of things. And you know what? It's got a powerful effect on people. Oh, you may only plant a seed. They may tilt their head at you and, you know, like a little dog. They may not know what to think of you, but that seed that you plant might be watered by somebody else. It might grow a little bit later, and there's a harvest down the road, and you can be part of the harvest. You don't have to have a harvest every time. If they tilt your head and look at you funny, it's okay. Because you got it started, or you were part of the ball rolling. You kept it rolling. Who knows? There are a lot of people who won't tell you that somebody's already told them this or that. You remember the testimony we had of the guy in Walmart? There was a firestorm over in Valparaiso, and they sent us out in groups, and a bunch of groups ended up at Walmart. We all had the same thought. We'll go to Walmart, find someone to pray for. And they asked this guy who was limping if they could pray for him. And he said, no, and walked off. But he ran into another team who said, can we pray for you? He says, no. He gets to the third team and they go, can we pray for you? And he goes, Jiminy Frost, all right already. Just pray for me. I've already had two other groups. What's with you people? And then he got healed. Sometimes God's preparing a path. And so we just have to be crazy enough to take a shot at it. You know, the man who wrote most of the doctrinal scripture that we read to determine our good doctrine, and the man who was the very essence of our doctrine as Christians, were both thought of as crazy. Are you better than them that you can't have that happen to you? I know it's uncomfortable sometimes. Yeah. If you've had it happen to you, you know it's uncomfortable. You know it's uncomfortable to have somebody look at you like you got something wrong with you. Like, what is your disease? What's wrong with you? But see, you're sharing the good news. And some of them are so far from it, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. It's got to start somewhere. I want it to start with you. I want it to start with me. I want to be that person. Being a little crazy in the eyes of the world makes me a little bit more like Jesus every time I do it. So look for opportunities. Can I encourage you to look for opportunities this week? And some of you know that we have people who do that a lot. Mark is really crazy. He's not just kind of crazy. He's really crazy. But crazy things have happened to him. His testimonies are so cool that people get, he plants a seed and it goes away for a while and comes back. Wow, isn't that neat? And he finds out that something he said made the difference in someone's life. And I think a lot of you have had those experiences, but we ought to be having them more. Maybe I'm crazy, but I just think it would be more fun if we had them more. And after a while, you might get over that feeling bad about people looking at you like you've got two heads. You might just get past it like, oh yeah, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Maybe we should make a t-shirt like that, Bethel. Place of two heads. No, just kidding. That would confuse people. That we'd have a lot of explaining to do. Well, I don't know. Maybe that'd work. They'd be like, what do you mean two heads? We're crazy. Do you believe, here's another question for you. Do you believe that God can speak to people through you? Do you believe that God can make a difference through you? Do you understand that God used a donkey once to talk to a prophet? If he can talk through a donkey, I'm sure he can talk through you. You know what I wanted to say right there, don't you? I will hold my tongue. My wife's like, don't do it. Don't you do it. John, such a rabble rouser. But seriously. Yeah, you are. To see what they're doing, they're trying. They're just egging me on. Yeah, no, I'm gonna be good. This has to go out over Facebook. If it was just family, I might do it because you'd forgive me later. Some of you wouldn't forgive me, you wouldn't care, but some of you would forgive me later. But seriously, if God can use that creature to talk to somebody, there isn't a single one of you that he can't use much better, much more wonderfully, no matter how much of a donkey you've been. And people know I have been a donkey sometimes. And you don't have to be a preacher again. I want to be careful and make sure that you just understand. You don't have to. Do you know the word preach in the book of Acts? There's actually, I think, four different versions of the word that's translated. The word preach is actually four different words translated. So sometimes it's just communicate, you know, like talk. You don't. It's not a big soapbox you get up. Hear ye, hear ye. You don't have to do that. Just be you. And talk to people about what he's done for you. So share your testimony. And by the way, we practice that here. That's why I ask for testimonies, which I'm going to do in just a little bit. I ask for testimonies so that you get in the practice of standing up. And maybe the whole congregation will look at you like you've got two heads. But maybe, you know, maybe that's okay. Because they'll be surprised later when they see what God's really doing. Maybe they missed it. It can happen. So practice, 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 practice. See, if we put into practice the things that he's given us to do, we're going to see a difference. We're going to see a difference in the lives of those around us. And even more, this is the crazy thing. When we do what he's given us to do, it changes our lives. It changes us. That's the craziest thing about it. When we give, it will be given to us. Sometimes I think we think that that's connected to something, thing that we have that we can give away, some physical thing that's in our hand. But sometimes when we're just crazy enough to love on other people, God is just crazy enough to love on us more. And we see more and more of his goodness and his love. So over the next few days, practice being encouraging. And we can do that by visiting some people who need visited. We mentioned that already this morning. We can do that by wearing a Bethel shirt and hanging out with the pastor on Beggar's Night, October 24th. And we'll just have our garage door open and we'll stand there and we'll just say hi to people and be really nice. And who knows what opportunities may open up. All right. You can do this. Be the one who does this, okay? Chris has got something special for you. He notified me this morning beforehand, and I said, there'll be a time, you'll know when. Yeah.
So this morning I woke up, and it was like, felt the Holy Spirit saying I needed to come and share a psalm with you guys, because I know you're going through a lot of stuff. I know the church has been through a lot of hurt and stuff, and it's like, I just wanted to read a psalm to encourage you. And you start thinking about that when you get that call. There's 150 of those to choose from, right? And I started looking at my list of things. I narrowed it down to four. And I went to Tammy, my wife, the smiling one, and said, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to read a psalm over the church this morning. And I just knew that Tim would be welcome or would receive that. That it's good. And we started talking, and she said, I go, can you look and kind of feel like if the Holy Spirit's leading you to something? And we both had narrowed it down to a couple. And she goes, what about the 34th Psalm? And I'm like, wow, that's on my list. That's in my final two of what I'm picking out. And here's the interesting part about this, just to know that the Holy Spirit is good and he's always working in our lives. So this 34th Psalm was written in this context, okay? This is the backstory. Before I just read just a couple verses of it, and I'm going to trust you to take it home and read the rest of it over you, because you need it. And it's a word for everyone in this house of encouragement, okay? So the backstory is this, is David's fearful for his life. He's scared. You know, Saul's after him. He's going to kill him. The king is after him. He's going to kill him. And so he runs away to this other place just to exile himself. And he goes to another place in a hard to pronounce Old Testament town with a hard to pronounce king. And this king hates him too. So Saul does something, David does something that's kind of wild, that this is the Holy Spirit. David decides to act like he is crazy.
That's true.
Literally, because in that time, in that context, if you were literally out of your mind, it was wrong. They felt like it was a sinful thing to punish or to kill someone that was crazy. So David started acting like he's insane, and he exiles himself to this other place, and this is where these words in the 34th Psalm come from him acting like he was crazy. Isn't that ironic? Crazy is not a word that gets preached on very often. And here I have a psalm for you brought this morning before I've talked to Tim or anything that has been written by David acting as if he's out of his mind or crazy. And this is what I got for you here so as I get my phone open. So be encouraged and know that you're loved. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this because you get the context of what we need to do when we're having hard times, when we don't know where to go or what to do next. It says this in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. There's some times going on right now, so I don't even have to read much further to realize that all I need to do is to bless the Lord, and it's going to be okay, friends. Do you hear me? The stuff that you're going through, the empty seats that you see here, and the people that have gone on, and the people that are in hospice that your heart breaks for, and the things you don't understand, if you bless the Lord in all times, you're going to be all right. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This is our charge. And here's what David did. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. You know, so he's running, he's fearful, and he can't breathe, and he's going from place to place, and he goes to one place, and it's the same trouble he had in the last place. You realize that you can't run from it? That only he got his answer in this 34th Psalm when he finally took time just to spend some time with God, right? So whatever you got going on, just spend some time with him. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at him are radiant. How would you like to see that in the mirror? Think about that for a second. The downtrodden, the broken, the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, the things that are going on in this broken world out there, that when you look upon him and you talk to him, that there's this radiance that'll come upon you. That's what opens the doors for you to be crazy in the marketplace, is the radiance of the Lord. It says, their faces shall never be ashamed. I like that too. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. I'd like for you to you don't, some of you don't know me, and some of you do, but I'm telling you that this 34th Psalm is something that you need, this church needs, this community needs, this state needs, this world needs, to know that all you have to do is look on him and call on him, and he's going to take care of you. And he's going to put the radiance back in your face. He's going to put the step back in your feet, and he's going to restore what the locusts have eaten that you may have laid in the trough for them to have. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Can I pray for you guys?
Sure.
I would love to do that.
Hey, let's all stand up.
Yeah.
You close us out this morning.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And pray for us. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm telling you, I will say this, guys, I'm not coming from a place of total victory right now. I've had a hard year. I've lost a ministry position. I've lost my father this year. I have a son that's been dealing with bone death in his leg. We've had stuff going on, but I'm not forsaken. We've had our hurts, we've had our troubles, and we're kindred in that pain with you. But the answer lies in the 34th Psalm, the first chapter of Matthew, the first verse of Genesis. It's the Lord, and that's why we're going to call on him. And may you be encouraged and blessed as I pray. Dear Lord, I just praise you today because your name is the sweet, sweet name. It is the name that heals. It is the name that feeds. It's the name that brings provision. May this house be blessed. Lord, as a place that has a radiant face. May passerby passersby see the radiance of the Lord just from here. Lord, may you give these folks that are here this morning a joy, a peace that passes all understanding. May you deliver them from their enemies. May you bring provision when it doesn't seem possible. May you bring healing as Jehovah Rapha when it doesn't seem possible. Lord, I believe that you are the answer to everything. And I know that you love, love, love. And you want to do something special here. So Lord, if it does call on us to be a little bit crazy, may you give us opportunities to do those things. May your name be blessed first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's crazy good. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. All right. God bless you.